Today on Real Radio.
It's not popular today to talk about the demands of the gospel, the commitment that's required, and the fact that Jesus, above all the men of God recorded in Scripture, spoke about heaven and hell. That's serious stuff because Jesus mentioned it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in chapter 13, where the gospel began to spread into the known world, and the day of the Gentiles had arrived. In other words, we're now looking at a pretty even mix of Jewish as well as Gentile believers at this point. Well, as you might expect, there was a bit of ethnic pride, as it were. So, some believed, some didn't. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear.
Acts 13:42 is where we'll begin our scripture reading. Luke, in his writing of the book of Acts, says there, "And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that the words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us." Quoting now in the book of Isaiah, he says, "I have set you to be light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The title of the message this morning is Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear. Did you get that? Title, a little bit different. Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear. If you were not here last week, this message really dovetails into what we began, and that is Paul's declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's something that's pretty exciting that takes place in what he said last week. And so by way of review, just look back at our study that covered verses 13 to 41. Note this. In verse 30, look what he says there. "But God raised Jesus from the dead." Look at verse 33. "God has fulfilled this for us, his children, in that he has raised up Jesus." Look at verse 34. "And after that, he raised Jesus from the dead." Then look finally now at verse 37 that we saw last week. "But he whom God raised up saw no corruption." That's Jesus Christ. In that brief message, four times, Paul underlines the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We mentioned to you last week that as great as Buddha it was, and as great as Muhammad might have been, or anyone else that all of human civilization could produce, even now, no one has risen from the dead. Nobody has had the Bible written in advance. I had the joy this last week, those of you who were here Wednesday, bear with me. After last Sunday's service, and by the way, by the time we came to the third service, 27 people had accepted the Lord last week, and that was wonderful. Well, Tuesday, we had the opportunity to speak to the Christian club at Chino High School. There were the Cowboys are at. And I just praise the Lord because at about 15 minutes before the class, someone got on the intercom across the school and said, and let me tell you, those Christians at Chino High know how to evangelize. They got on the a microphone and they said, free pizza to those who come to the Christian class. We have a guest speaker today at lunchtime. So some kids sacrificed their lunch and they came and got a pizza on top of it. But it was wonderful because the kids packed in and they were on their in the desk and on the floor and standing room. And in 20 minutes, we had to give them the gospel. And I know what you're thinking. In 20 minutes, it's impossible for you to give them the gospel, Jack. Well, God was there. That's how it became possible. And 17 people accepted the Lord. And one of them was a school teacher there. Isn't that neat? Praise the Lord. And what we did was we simply declared the gospel and the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, that he alone is the one that's had the way prepared before him in the Bible. There's been no other. And so Paul comes to the people, comes to his own countrymen, so to speak, those in the synagogue, and he declares the gospel to them in such a way, in just a few verses, declaring four times that it's Jesus who rose from the dead. Jesus is the one. And he gave them a clear and present gospel. Why did we name it that name last week? Because it is clear that the message Paul gave, and it is present. It is right now. We are not studying a book of antiquity. We are not studying ancient history. We are studying a book that is just as contemporary and more than next week's newspaper. Next week's newspaper is already, though it hasn't been printed, trying to catch up to what the Bible has to say. Where's the gospel? It's not popular today to talk about the demands of the gospel, the commitment that's required, and the fact that Jesus, above all the men of God recorded in Scripture, spoke about heaven and hell. That's serious stuff because Jesus mentioned it. And I know this morning, in a group this large, I'm going to step on some toes, but listen carefully. Am I stepping on your toes, or is it the truth of God stepping on your toes? I want you to listen up as we get into this, because what happens in the result of the presentation of the gospel Paul gave last week, decisions will be made in one of the two directions. And that's heavy stuff, and none of us like it. So if you missed last week's message, get the tape. It dovetails into what we're talking about today. The very first thing that we'll see right now in verses 42 to 47 is the gospel of love, that is the gospel of grace. The word of Jesus Christ is rejected, and at what a cost. Starting at verse 42. It says, "And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that the words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, that is Paul and Barnabas speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Well, what's going on here? What happened? Well, I want to draw your attention back to last week. Look at verses 38 and 39. Beautiful verses. Paul comes to the end of his message. He says in verse 38, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus, is preached to you the what? The forgiveness of sins." Do you have any sins that need to be forgiven? You got to beat a path down to the altar right here or up to heaven to receive the Lord. Man, I have sins that need to be forgiven. Thank God he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But look at verse 39. "And by him," that is Jesus, "everyone who believes is worried and full of guilt and..." No, justified. Justified. Listen, God forgives, and God who forgives also justifies. Unbelievable. You're not only forgiven. Christian, you are not only forgiven, you're justified. Well, gee, Jack, what's the big whoop? It's a big whoop. The whoop is big. Forgiven. I can forgive you, or you can forgive me. That's fine. But can I justify you? I cannot. You cannot justify me. Justified is to put into my account that I have never sinned. I can't do that. I can forgive you, but I cannot on my ledger say, he's never sinned. Look at this room. People looking at, look at it, look at each other. God looks at you, even though we can't. We're so funny. We look at somebody and we go, well, there's the guy that cut me off in the parking lot just now. What's he doing? He's got a seat closer than I do. Well, there's the guy that cut me off last week. What's he doing? Hey, listen, we have to forgive. It's not an option. We're Christians. We have to forgive, but we can't justify anybody. God justifies. He takes you who cut me off trying to find a parking space and forgives you of your sin and puts you into a column that says, in this column dwelleth no sinners, only sinless. And that's where you're placed if you're a believer. Can you believe that? The word justified, this is heavy. This is going to make you kind of squirm, especially if you're legalistic. The word justified means, for those of you who believe, that even your future sin is dealt with in Christ. Jack, did you say my future sin is dealt with in Christ? That means next Tuesday at 5 o'clock? My sin that I'm going to commit has been dealt with? Yep, forgiven of. Justified. Well, let's party on then. No, I said to those who believe, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the ways that you're going to know it is, man, you don't want to goof up. You want to bless him. You want to stay as close to him as possible. If you want to kind of walk near the fence and have one foot in church and one foot in the world, or you know what? You need to either get saved, or if you are saved, you need to get out of there and get back to top center with the Lord. That he declared to them last week. Look at verse 40. Because that's such great news. He says, beware, be careful now. Therefore, there's accountability to what was just said. Lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Okay, well, what is that? Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Okay, there's a warning right now to not to reject this message of grace and forgiveness. Are you with me? Now watch, he keeps going, or the account, the narrative, picks up in verse 42. And when the Jews, you ought to circle the Jews. Drop your pen down to verse 45, circle the Jews. Then draw a line over to verse 50, the Jews. Who are the Jews? Well, it's not Israelis, it's not those in Judaism, it is the religious leaders, the scribes, Pharisees, and lawyers, that is religious lawyers of the Old Testament. Are you with me? We're not slamming Jewish people here. We love Jewish people. The word the Jew or Jews here means the religious leader and his cohorts. Now watch what happens. It says there that when they went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that the words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They want to hear more. He gave them the facts. Remember we mentioned last week just the facts? He gave them the facts. They recognized the truth and they say, man, we want to hear more. Why is that the case? Because their hearts were open, but not these guys. They rejected the love of God and the grace that's in the gospel. It says in verse 43, now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews, praise the Lord, that is the bulk of the simple, normal, non-religious, or how about non-staff members of the Jewish people? Those who weren't on staff of the synagogue. And devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Paul and Barnabas encouraged them to continue in the grace of God. Listen to this, you guys. This is so serious, and if I get a little hostile here, I'm in the attack mode on this issue. I'll warn you right up front. Paul and Barnabas encouraged these new converts to continue in the grace of God. You know what the grace of God means? Grace of God means God's unmerited favor. It means he looks at you and he says, you don't deserve a thing. And he says, because you don't deserve a thing, I'm going to give you everything. Because you're such a lost and lonely sinner and you need salvation, I'm going to give you that and more. It's when your little child crosses the line and they deserve a spanking, and you say, you know what, you deserve a spanking, but you're not going to get a spanking. We're going to go down and we're going to get you a double scoop it, pay less. That's grace. Paul says, now listen, you guys who are pumped up about the word of God, continue in the grace of God. Did you hear the word today? Yes, sir, we did. Then listen, that very word converts your soul. Just hang around Jesus. Just be with him. Now, how do you think that went over if you are one of the religious Jews who demands that, okay, you can believe in Jesus. Later on in the book of Acts, they're going to say, but you know what? If you really want to be holy, if you really want to be spiritual, you need to be circumcised. And they, oh, really? Well, we certainly want to be totally holy and awesome and all that stuff and following the Lord. So, I mean, we need to be circumcised. And you read the book of Acts and you read the book of Galatians and all, and it talks about that. They say, you need to believe, but you need to be circumcised too. There are people running around who say, well, yeah, that's good. You believe, but unless you're baptized, you're never going to make it. You can take the word baptized or circumcised and interchange them. It basically means the same thing, so to speak. It's an outward declaration of an inward commitment. Should you be baptized? Certainly. But are you saved all the more? Or are you saved at all if you are baptized? No, baptism doesn't save you. The Bible says so. Paul the Apostle says, I thank God I hardly baptized anybody that I can remember, he said. God didn't send me, Paul said, to baptize. If baptism was so important to salvation, don't you think he would have preached it every which way? The thief on the cross was never baptized. Yet Jesus said, today you'll be with me in heaven, in paradise. You are saved by the grace of God, and it's the faith that he gives you to believe that message. It's by faith and faith alone. We mentioned that on Wednesday night. It's so very important. Watch what happens, though. It says in verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, that's the following week, they were filled with joy. Oh, man. They were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. This is very sad. I want you to jot these things down. I'm going to give you six things that will guarantee you becoming a legalistic, dead believer in God and missing the grace of God and the goodness of God. Because what these guys were doing is that they were imposing the rite of circumcision upon these new believers to rob them of their joy, and they walked up and they basically are going to say, you need to be like us. Totally miserable. Bound by the law. Walking around with a sour-looking mug on your face all day and thinking that sorrow is godliness. You need to be like us. You guys are all excited about this message you've heard? Well, this is how it really is. You need to suck on lemons like we do. Get down and really... Well, you would be miserable too if you'd get circumcised. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians... to these very people, the area of Galatia, which Antioch of Pisidia is in. He writes to them later. Did they continue in the grace of God like he asked them to? Answer, no, they didn't. That's why he wrote the book of Galatians. You can jot it down right in your notes right now. Right here, Paul had to write the book of Galatians because they did not continue in the grace of God. So what does the book of Galatians say? Paul says those guys who have so easily and quickly defrauded you or moved you off the path from the grace of God, he says, I wish all of them to be, the word is emasculated. Paul says, they want to push circumcision? Well, why don't they just cut everything off? That's what he said in the Greek. Is that heavy? So can you imagine accepting Jesus Christ right now? Everybody come forward, praise the Lord. Got a bunch of people up here. All you guys, okay, it's time to be circumcised. Forget that, pal. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Thing. Aren't you glad? All the men go, amen, brother. Hallelujah. But I want to say this in all seriousness. If you're a circumciser here today, if you're thinking about making this your church, or maybe it already is your church, you're legalistic. You're looking around at people and you're criticizing. Well, if they were really like me, or if they came to church and wore my kind of clothing, or if they would only this or only that. Listen, I got a couple words to say to you, and I mean this because I love what God's doing here. Repent of your legalism. Get right with the Lord or hit the road. Because it's a cancer. It'll destroy people. You get a brand new believer. Aren't they fun to be around? They're crazy. I love them. They just accepted the Lord. Praise God. You know, they're all pumped up. I love being around a new believer. And then somebody comes by and says, well, brother, enjoy it now while you got it, because you need to be like me. Miserable and circumcised. And seriously. Hey, forget it. If anybody's bugging you, if you're a believer and somebody's trying to, if you sense, man, it's legalistic, somebody's pushing this down my throat, hey, I want to know about it. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to stand before God and give an account for this place. And if we're going to sin, people, we need to sin towards grace. I'd rather go the extra mile to forgive you than to cut you off. Because God is God. He is Lord. I didn't die for your sins and you didn't die for mine. The bottom line is Jesus Christ is the one. And if he extends grace, then how much more grace should we extend? Well, yeah, but Jack, you know what? They used to? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. If our God is not the God of the second and third and 59th and 131st chance, then forget it. And I know that drives a legalistic mind up the wall right now. That's why I'm asking you, either repent of that attitude, or there's, I'm sure, some other places that will love to have you. And you can be in the little fault finder sin sniffer club and just generate an exclusive group where we're the holies and you're not. Hey, I thank God Jesus died for a wretched, stinking bum like me. And put his, he thought enough of me to put his Holy Spirit in my life. I don't understand it. I can't reconcile that. God just says, simply believe it. And I'm glad. But these guys are rejecting. And it's sad. Number one, we're going to give you six things on how to become, six steps to become a legalistic circumciser. Number one, verse 45, you got to become envious. They were filled with envy. The word in the Greek means heat. It means to have the jealousy, and the Greek implies like a husband has for a wife that is wayward. That's tough stuff.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear. A look at the last 11 verses of the book of Acts chapter 13. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Listen, if you enjoy and benefit from Real Radio, let us know. It's easy. You can call, click, or write. If you want to put it into readable words, probably the quickest and easiest way is to visit us at realradioactive.org. In fact, while you're there, click on the tab that says Reaction, and you'll read letters and emails like this one. Pastor Jack, I love your messages, and they inspire me to walk with the Lord Jesus. I usually call my good friend, who also listens to you out here, and we discuss the message and how it applies to our lives. I thank you for sharing your ministry online and on the radio, and thank God for the work you do. God bless you, your family, and this ministry. Sincerely, Carmela from New Jersey. You see, it can be very brief, but very inspiring as well. Again, realradioactive.org. Or you can call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.